Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back with us once again. We had a week off there and some traveling and internet and all kinds of stuff going on with me. So just grateful because so much is going on. You know, you can go down in the description box below this video at andweknow.com/gold anytime during this video and reach out to Dr. Kirk and his team, and they'll be glad to help you out, especially during this time of turmoil. We've had a lot happen this past week. Big ones were basically the AT&T and some others shutting down their services in the middle of the morning. Everybody wakes up at 3. They're heading off, need to use Uber or whatever ordering systems that they use on their phones and what have you. Doesn't work. And that has a huge effect on the economy and more. We've got more balloons showing up that look like satellites. I call them sataloons. I don't even really believe in satellites, but that's just the way I think. And so we got some other things going on with that. So we know they're planning something. Weird stuff's going on. There's big names selling stock like crazy. We're going to get into that today. Anyway, welcome back, Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Hey, LT. It's great to be back with you.
Awesome. Yeah, so I wanted to just get right off the bat here. I mean, I really feel like censorship is going to be a big issue this year. I think they're going to be tired of all the truth coming out. And it seems like they're planning behind the scenes, the deep state's trying to shut the systems down. But I think they're going to have a hard time. I think things were set into place years ago to protect us. So it's not heading towards the fear-mongering side. But it's just interesting watching all this play out recently, especially during the election year.
Well, it is, you know, and it's not just an election year here. You know, I was reading this weekend or last weekend. everything's a blur. It's like, seriously. So Greg Hunter on USAWatchdog.com wrote this article, and it was based on Martin Armstrong. Martin Armstrong is really, in my opinion, one of the best forecaster cycles guys. You know, he looks at trends throughout history, and he's really generally quite accurate. Well, he basically says we're in a war cycle right now, and war cycles don't just happen, LT. I mean, it's not like, all right, another 60 years, we're in a war cycle. There's always reasons for every cycle, right? That, as a economist, that's what I look at. And what causes a war cycle? Well, let me put it into a little story. So if you go back to, remember the Arab Spring, this was like maybe a decade ago, and there was terrorist uprisings all over the world, right? And what was the root cause of that, though? It was actually famine and food crisis. So being hangry, for lack of a better term, is a real thing, right? When people can't feed their family, when there's famine everywhere, like there was actually in the Middle East and parts of Africa at that time, it caused basically human nature, people to just get mad and get angry and uprisings and riots and everything everywhere, right? So you look at what's happening right now, you've got food crisis all over the world because of political issues, right? It's not necessarily because of things that the globalists would say, oh, global warming, you know, it's causing all these food issues and blah, blah, blah. No, it's politics, right? So you've got Russia, for example, which is the largest provider of fertilizer for the whole world. I mean, that they're like the kingpin of fertilizer exports.
Right.
Well, because of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, exports from Russia have been basically cut to zero. So there's no fertilizer. So that means crops in America, the yield is lower. You know, it's really expensive to get anything. And because the grain isn't producing the yield that it should, it's also more expensive to feed cattle. So beef prices go through the roof. I mean, there's a cause and effect for everything, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at that, there is a food crisis globally, not because of global warming, but because of politics, right? Mm-hmm. So then you add to that, what happens when people can't feed their families? Because everything's expensive.
Right.
Right. So you've got these inflationary pressures happening. Not only are food prices going up, but people are really strapped right now, LT. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay their mortgage. They can't keep up with their credit card payments or their car payments because interest rates are soaring. You know, and here's, you know, side note, don't believe anything that Jerome Powell or Janet Yellen say.
That's right.
I mean, don't believe any of it. It's all politicized nonsense because, you know, I'm getting on a little bit of rabbit trail, but there's so much to talk about because we haven't talked in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But he was on 60 Minutes, right? So he had this hour-long interview on 60 Minutes, and I was reading between the lines, and he said something astronomically off. I mean, it was just the guy's not stupid. He's a chairman of the Federal Reserve, right? But what he, so that means what he was doing was absolutely just lying, right? So Jerome Powell on 60 Minutes says the national debt crisis is a distant concern. It's like, what? The debt crisis is a distant concern? Okay, so let's show that that's an absolute bald-faced lie. It's like, then why in the world do they have to raise the debt ceiling every year? It's like, they keep running out of money. You know, we got to shut down the government, and we're threatening everybody that we're going to shut down the government.
Right.
And we can't have this happen because Social Security, you know, payments won't go out. Government employees and their pensions, that won't happen. We're going to have to shut down the post office and the Department of Defense, right? It's like they give all these fear stories, just fear, fear, fear. Mm. Well, if debt weren't a problem, then it wouldn't be a problem. They wouldn't have to keep raising the debt ceiling. So for him to say that this is a thing of the distant future, it's in stark contrast to reality. Because I would say that this is not a problem for the future. This is not a long-term problem anymore. I mean, it is a problem for the long-term, don't get me wrong, but this is an immediate problem as well that could blow up at literally any minute. And the Bible is perfectly clear on debt, right? A borrower is a slave to the lender, and don't ever, you know, buy any more than what you can actually pay for. And don't be a debt slave to anybody, right? So,
right.
So the founding fathers warned about this. I can't remember, LT, maybe you know. I don't know if it was Hamilton or Jefferson. One of the founding fathers says, never get more debt than what your generation can pay off, because it's simply unfair to future generations, to your kids and grandkids and great-great-grandkids, to actually have them pay for the sins of your forefathers, right? Well, it's mathematically impossible now to pay off the debt, right? So what have we done? We've passed our debt and our conspicuous consumption and everything that we do as a country onto our kids and grandkids and great-great-grandkids, to where now it's actually mathematically impossible to pay back that debt. It just is. When we've got $1 trillion of just interest-only payments on our debt right now, with the debt being $34 trillion,
right.
That's 25% of everything that the country brings in as income. Hmm. 25%. If you had 25% of your income, LT, as a, you know, as your baseline for life, you couldn't even get a mortgage.
That's right.
I mean, literally, you couldn't. You would actually have to file for bankruptcy. Hmm. See, this is where we are as a country, though, too. And they know it, right? They know it. So here's where you started the show talking about the deep state. Well, this Greg Hunter article, you know, that he was referring to Martin Armstrong, how we're in a war cycle. And there's more to it than that. The title of the article that I was reading and doing research on last weekend, everything is going wrong for the deep state. Yes. I love that.
Yes.
I truly love that. However, the next part of the headline was not so good sounding, right? And he says, and then he warns, and that's what makes them so dangerous now. It's like, okay, so what's going on this year that makes them so dangerous? Well, you had mentioned that this is an election year.
Right.
It's not just an election year in America. This is an election year in 60% of the world.
Oh,
right. So in 2024, what are people going to be voting for in 2024? A change in government. That's what everybody votes for on any election, right? That's like, are we going to keep, you know, how it is, or are we going to want to change? Hmm. Well, with a global, let's look at, you know, dissect this a little bit. We've got a global debt crisis. There's food famine. People can't afford to eat. This causes social uprisings all over the world, right? Because when people are forced with buying food or and feeding their kids or making their mortgage or paying their rent or paying for utilities or just surviving, people start to pull back, right? They pull back their spending and they say, I don't know what's going to happen. And this is the problem with war, right? Mm-hmm. So these globalists, World Economic Forum people, Bank for International Settlements, IMF, all the globalist leaders of the world, mm-hmm. they don't care about people. You know, this we can't ever forget that. It's like all they want is war. They don't care. They simply don't care. They don't care about the economy. They don't care about your health. If they cared about your health, they wouldn't be pushing vaccines on everybody. They wouldn't be on something that they manufactured. They wouldn't be actually, like here in Colorado, having the Denver health workers take the Ebola vaccine.
Ooh.
Right? So Ebola, it's like, since when was Ebola ever a thing in America? Right? I mean, this is so bad. So, but what are they doing? Look at the baseline for what all this is. It's fear, right? It's mm-hmm. let's get people into our back pockets. We can fear them into compliance about their health, about their finances, about war, right? About everything. And when people are scared, they start to make really bad decisions, right? So,
yep.
So Martin Armstrong in this research article, you know, being in a war cycle because of all those reasons we just talked about, this one is different, he warned. You know, we look at who the actors are that are at war. You've got Russia and Ukraine, nuclear capability. Look at Israel and Hamas, nuclear capability. Look at China and Taiwan, that's even starting to get hot and heavy now, nuclear capability, right? So he said, don't be surprised if something nuclear happens in 2024. So whether that's real or whether that's perceived, the same end result is the case. People get scared. It's like, what? I can't feed my family. I can't pay my rent. There's inflation. The interest rates keep going up and we're running out of money. And now there's bank failures and we're being warned of like Ebola and other pandemics coming. And so people automatically just pull back the reins, right? They do stuff like, well, let's save for a rainy day, right? Mm. Because they just don't know. And that's human nature. Nobody that is watching this would be any different. I'm no different. You're no different.
Right.
When things start to get squirrely, we just start to save even more than we normally would. So Armstrong is saying he's looking for a contraction in the economy of 12 to 18%. We're not talking about a stock market decline of 12 to 18%, which wouldn't even be all that bad. Right. We're talking about an actual decline in the economy, GDP. You know, it's not going to be rising and inflation is still going to be persisting. Right. So now this is the nature of this article, and the foundation of it is things are going wrong for the deep state because people are waking up, right? All over the world. They're seeing this overreach, everything that we're seeing. It's an absolute overreach. And they're starting to pull back. They're starting to say, wait a second, something doesn't seem right. And you look at what's happening politically. Right. And they're thinking, you know, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. If Trump gets back into power, they're all fired, right? And they know that they're losing power. So everything is going wrong for the deep state. And what happens when it goes wrong for them? Why is it going wrong for them? Because confidence in the government has collapsed everywhere, right? And this makes the deep state Democrats, the rhinos, the neocons very dangerous. It's like this rabid dog backed into a corner, and what are they going to start to do? They're going to fight back. How do they fight back? With fear tactics. Like we're preparing right now for pandemic 2.0.
Oh yeah,
right? And we don't know what it is, but it's going to be a nasty one. And in fact, in Colorado, they've got immunized Colorado, and they're immunizing people for Ebola, and they've got this and that, and COVID's going to be, you know, the new variant is going to be a nasty one, and blah blah blah. Well, how do they fight back with your money? Central bank digital currency, Mm-hmm. But their rationale, you and I have talked about this a ton, and their rationale there is, we'll fix it with this, but don't believe what they say, right? Don't believe anything that Jerome Powell or Janet Yellen say, because it's all politically motivated. Central bank digital currency brings nothing except Mark of the Beast style overreach into your bank account and the ability to cut you off from buying or selling if your ideology doesn't match up.
Boy.
Right? So you've got health, you've got finances, you've got wars and rumors of wars, and this is how they're fighting back. So I look at that as the backdrop for a 12 to 18% decline in the economy. Again, a 12 to 18% decline in the economy would equate to a lot more of a decline in the stock market, right? So, what are the big fellas doing, right? What are the uber wealthy of this world doing? The billionaires, the Jeff Bezos, the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates of this world, right? Well, you know what they're doing? Exactly acting on the news that we just said. Mm-hmm. They're getting out of Dodge.
Yep.
They're absolutely getting out of Dodge. They're selling their shares like at a rate that I have never seen before. In doing this for 29 years, I've never seen this. I've never, ever seen this. So Jeff Bezos was rumored to have sold $10.5 billion of his own shares. Billion with a B. And so I looked it up. Because when you're that big and you have a publicly traded company that's that big, you have to register your sales with the SEC. Sure enough, on the end of January, or no, I'm sorry, beginning of February, he actually made an announcement and actually had to register two sales. One $8.5 billion of his own personal Amazon shares, and then a secondary one of $2 billion. Well, that's $10.5 billion.
Mm.
All right, so he's not the only guy. You know, Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, he just sold a ton of Microsoft shares, so much that he, the founder of Microsoft, is no longer the majority shareholder in Microsoft. It's like, what? He's no longer the majority shareholder. He sold that much. We have to realize that these two guys are classic narcissists, right? They think that they're so smart that they can rule the world, that their companies are the best ever. You and I are both business owners, right? So if we're business owners and we have confidence in our ability as leaders and we have confidence that our companies are amazing, would we ever sell our stock?
No,
we wouldn't. So the fact of the matter is they are narcissists. They think that they're the greatest. They think that their companies are amazing. And there's no doubt their companies are absolutely massive, huge, like two of the largest companies in the world. So then what? They think that the economy is going to stink. They don't think that it's going to do so well. So they're starting to get out. And they're not the only two. Warren Buffett. So Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, right? The head of Berkshire Hathaway, one of the most successful, you know, stocks of all time. I don't even know what their share value is. It's absolutely through the roof, maybe in the hundreds of thousands. I don't even know. It's massive. They're sitting on a mountain of cash, a mountain of cash. And to what end? Well, we don't have to speculate. He said it. He said, we're sitting on cash because we're waiting for a stock market collapse.
Ooh.
And he is a value investor, meaning he likes to buy companies. He doesn't invest in stocks, really. He buys companies at huge, massive discounts. Well, and then he rides them up and he's looked at as the savior. He bought out these failing companies and then he makes a fortune as they start to rise because he buys them at uber cheap prices. Blackstone, Evergrande, the big Chinese real estate holding company, failed, you know, and lost 99% of its bond price, you know, to out of bankruptcy. So those people are only getting 1%. Blackstone is now the largest real estate holding company in the world. They actually went on a capital raise, not to buy property, mm-hmm. not to buy office buildings, not to buy apartment buildings, not to buy commercial real estate, but to sit in cash. They're doing a capital raise for cash. And why? Again, we don't have to speculate. They said they're waiting for a massive stock market collapse so they can buy real estate at a discount.
Hmm.
So you've got them. You've got Warren Buffett. You've got Jeff Bezos. You've got Bill Gates all selling their stuff. What do they know that we don't? I mean, I don't think they really know anything that we don't, other than they're acting on the same things that we talk about week after week after week.
Right.
The economy is hurting bad. And the fact that all of this happened within the last 2 weeks tells me that we might be closer than what we think. Now, you know, there's no guarantee. I'm not God. I don't control the markets. Neither are you. But when those big dogs are getting out of Dodge, and it's something we've been talking about, I bet they're operating on the same news, the same intelligence that we are. That when prices rise, interest rates rise, and we've got mountains of debt, and wages are going down, and jobs are decreasing,
yep,
that's not a good sign for the economy.
Not at all.
And this is what we have with Bidenomics. And look at the political makeup of these people. Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they're all Democrats. They're all globalists. And yet they don't even think Bidenomics is going to work. Right? So they're protecting themselves like they always do. And we just have to start to put these pieces together and realize, if they're doing something to protect them, we should do something to protect ourselves as well.
That's right. That's right. And that protection that you guys provide, especially when we talked about the banks also still shutting down across the entire earth, you guys have the solution, and you've talked about it quite a bit. And I tell you, we brought our IRAs over and into silver, and we're just grateful for that. We've been amazed at what's happened with our IRA. So we definitely want to make sure that folks are aware of what you provide.
Yeah, I mean, people don't even understand that. I shouldn't say people overall, but so many, and I'm sort of shocked by it because we've been talking about this for a long time. They don't know that you can actually put tangible assets like gold and silver, physical bars, coins, in your IRAs. I mean, I have people that call me every single day. It's like, I thought I had to just take delivery of it at home. It's like, no, you can actually do an IRA with it, right? It's probably, LT, I would say 70% of our business is IRA business.
Right.
Well, people are getting out of toxic paper assets and going into strength, into tangible. Now, when I talk about gold and silver in an IRA, it's not paper. It's not an ETF. It's not a mining share. It's not a mutual fund. It's physical silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars. And they store them for you in the IRA account. And now outside of an IRA, you can either store it or you can take delivery of it. You have an option. But here's where I would encourage everybody, when the warning signs are so big, when you've got the billionaires of this world selling their own shares, it's not like they're selling other companies. They're selling their own stuff. I mean, this is a whole different dynamic than anything we've seen before, where somebody's saying, oh, I'm expecting a market collapse and I'm going to start getting out of equities and blah, blah, blah. They're selling their own stuff.
That's right.
To me, that's a completely different story, because it actually really is hitting home with them that this market is bad. And you and I aren't privy to being in World Economic Forum meetings or Bilderberg meetings or whatever. They are. And so part of me says, what do they know that we might not know? What is being planned? What is being accelerated so they can get their own way? Right? Are they accelerating a banking collapse? Well, I think that a banking collapse is imminent. I really do. And there's reasons why. Mm-hmm. Because March 11th, and you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, the banking temp funding program, the emergency funds that go to banks after Silicon Valley, it's like the TARP program for banks, right? They got emergency funding from the Fed. That sunsets on March 11th. All at the same time, while the Basel III Accords are kicking into high gear, meaning the reserve requirement at banks went from 0% to 20%. So now banks are going to have to somehow miraculously out of thin air find 20% of all their deposits and keep them in reserves. It's like, what? if you're a $1 billion bank and you had a 0% reserve and all of a sudden you have to come up with 200 million because that's 20% of a billion, where's that 200 million going to come from? What if they don't have it? Well, then they will cease to be a bank. They're going to have to be bought out.
Right.
Well, maybe they could get emergency funding. It's like, oop, nope, can't do that anymore after March 11th. That program's being sunset. It's gone.
Right.
So you start to add these things together. This is a couple of weeks, you know, in the future, but these big dogs are getting out of their own companies' shares. It's like, what do they know that we don't know? And this is where we all have to start connecting the dots, operating with that biblical wisdom that God gives us every single second of every single day. We just have to be alert to what his word has told us since the beginning of time. Be alert, be discerning, you know, test the prophets. Don't listen to everything that you hear. Get out of debt. Don't be a slave to debt. All of that. And our antennas should be sticking up right now with huge sensitivity that God gives us, thinking something is simply not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of folks that when I run into them through town and what have you, they share the same dilemma, the time that we live in. It seems kind of strange. This is a weird year. I think there's going to be a crash. A lot of folks are hesitating buying real estate now because of that. And so this just seems like there's a lot of talk around the table about this type of thing going on. And I'm just grateful that we were able to meet you, figure out that, you know what, we don't have to depend on these this fiat money to, you know, move our future, and realize that, you know what, if these banks are closing down, we can find a way to store our wealth, the things that we've worked for our entire life, and put it into something that's biblical, and that's gold and silver. So I'm just thankful for that. It is an amazing time to be alive. A lot of folks are waking up to it. I think it's God's timing and allowing us to stay open. Many folks, you know, were shut down. Radio shows, not allowed to talk about things, but we're still able to get the information out. And I think it's just God's timing, allowing us to learn and grow. And then finally, folks are waking up and saying, that's it. I'm done. I'm moving my 401 over. I'm going to start buying silver and gold. I'm going to start holding back all of this, get rid of my dollars, per se, and get into gold and silver and start realizing I need protection. So this has been great.
Well, good. I love doing it. I love working with you on that and getting the message out to the masses, because it's so needed. It's what God created us for. And we're just trying to spread the message far and wide because these are dangerous times. But don't be fearful. Don't operate out of a state of fear. When there's a solution, you never have to operate out of fear. And this is, I believe, one of the solutions, at least financially. Politically, I think there's other solutions coming. But financially, get out of digital stuff. Get out of paper stuff. Get out of the things that the Bank for International Settlements has said is coming and coming soon. Unified ledgers, programmable money, central bank digital currency. All of that has the ability to cut you off with the flip of a switch. Tangible assets like gold and silver basically bypass that, which is an awesome gift, brother.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Folks, you can go down to below this video, andweknow.com/gold. Click on that, fill out the form, and you can reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team. They will help you out, answer all the questions that you might have. It's absolutely brilliant, the support that they provide. So thank you once again, Dr. Kirk Elliott, for joining us. We look forward to these updates. Definitely helps us get through the week.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk soon.
All right. God bless.